Now we're holding on Yud Aleph on Bay's three lines from the bottom. We were talking about the case where a man marries a woman on the assumption that she's a basula, and it turns out that she's not. We said before that Rava had said that she doesn't have a basula at all. Now it's different if he finds that she's a mukas eitz, then we said that she does get a basula of a mana, but if she's a ba'ula, then she gets no psuba at all, because Mekach Toos, Rav Sheshes had said that she has a mon. So in this connection, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Konserishon Lashum Nisuin, if a woman was married to a man the first time, and he actually went into the chuppah with her, so before we talked about where they only did Edusin, here we're talking about where they did the chuppah as well, the Yashla Edim Shla Nisura, but there were Edim that she wasn't actually alone with him after the chuppah, Inami, or another possibility, Nisura, or she was in alone with him, but not the amount of time that it would take for Bia, which at the beginning of Sota talks about a half dozen different opinions, how long that is. But either way, the point is that she's obviously not had relations. Nevertheless, if her first husband dies or divorces her, then the second one can't claim Tainas Basulim and say, I didn't find those Basulim, that she didn't have Basulim, and there's a problem. Shari conservation, because after all, the first one already did Nisuin, and we said in our Mishnah that Amana from Nisuin, even if she's still physically a Basula, then we still say there's no Tainas Basulim. So the point is that even though, Rashi says, even though that here we have Edim, normally you would say Nisuin automatically means once there's Nisuin, the next thing is Bia. Here there's actually Edim to the effect that there was no Bia. Nevertheless, we still say that he can't say Mechachtos. He has to assume that it's very likely that did nevertheless have relations, and therefore there's no Tainus Basulim. Omer Rabba, so Rabba says, Zoisemeris, from this you see, Konsa Becheskas Basulim and Nimtis Ba'ula, that if he marries a woman having with a Chazaka that she's a Basula, and it turns out that she's a Ba'ula, Yeshla Basulba Mona, then she will have a Basulba of a Mona. Like Rav Sheshes said before, because here we have exactly that. He has a chazaka that she's a basula. It turns out that she's a ba'ula. She does have, because he after all relied on the Edim. So you would think he has the right to say that it's likely that she was in fact a basula. Nevertheless, he doesn't have that argument, and he can't say that it was Mekach Toos. That's Rabba says. Rabba Ashi, on the other hand, Rabba Ashi says no. You could say that in general, when he marries her thinking she's a basula and it turns out that she's a ba'ula, you would say it is a Mekach Toos and she has nothing at all, like Rabba said. But shiny hocha, but it would be different over here, shiny conservation, because after all, the first one did marry her, they did do chuppah, and the second one knows it, so therefore he already had a chazaka that she was a ba'ula. Fine, there might be Edim that they didn't have relations yet, but nevertheless, he's still not necessarily relying on them. He's saying maybe just the Edim are saying that in order to make her look good to him, Tosfos says. There are Edim, but he might say that they're only saying it for her shvach. They want to make her look better or something. The Gemara says, what are we saying that the second one can't argue Tainus Basulim? Isn't there the possibility, after all, that she may have been Mizana during the Erusin? And then, as we said at the beginning on the test, that then you have a potential problem. She could be also to him. And we said actually at the beginning of the Masechta that we want to have the Sulam Mises, the Yemer Revi, precisely so that they come to Beis Din as soon as possible and hash all this out. So Rashi explains the question is not so much on Rav Sheshes saying and Rava saying that she has a ksuba of a mona, they came to Beis Din and checked it out and found that the znus was before that. So then we would say that there is a ksuba. Here we're talking about what he says, Eina Sheni Yochel Litin Tainus Basulim, means he can't even make a claim to begin with, meaning that Beis Din is not even going to give him an appointment to hear the claim. Well, why not? Isn't there the possibility that there was Nus during the Eusin? And the answer is, Omer of Shrebia, Kigun Shekidush Abor La'alter. The case is where the second one did the Kiddushin and the Be'ila back to back, which is actually more like the way we do things nowadays, where we do the Kiddushin right there under the chuppah, and then immediately after that is the chuppah and the yichud room, and that night is the first be'ila, and there's not really time in between for there to be znus. So therefore, necessarily, if he finds that, if he finds she's not a basula, and again, it's not, we're assuming that it's not mukas eitz, either because as Tosfos said earlier on Daf Yud, if she was a mukas eitz, she would say so. She wouldn't be embarrassed to say that. Or because as other Rishonim learned, it's so rare to be mukas eitz that it's not even a possibility, really. So therefore, so we know it can't have been during the Erisin, because the Erisin itself was very short, and therefore necessarily it has to have been before the Erisin, and then fine, there's no problem with her being also to him. So now the Gemara says, v'ika demasti lo amasnisa. Now this that we said, that Rava said, zois emeres, we see from the Braisa that we quoted at the bottom of Yurava from the days, that another version is, v'ika demasti lo amasnisa. Another version is that Rava's statement was said regarding our Mishnah, not regarding the Braisa. Where the Mishnah had said, Basula almanu grusha v'chalutza min anisuin, that if the woman is a basula, but she's a widow or a divorcee or a chalutza after the nisuin, so there was nisuin, but nevertheless she's still physically a basula, ksubasin mana, the Mishnah said she gets a ksuba of a mana rather than 200, ve'in lehen tainus basulim, there's no tainus basulim, because again he married her having a chazaka already that she already had relations, because usually nisuin, the next thing after that, is having relations. So Basulam and Nisuin, Hechemashkachas law. So you have to think about it. How would it be possible that there was a Basula and that there was Nisuin and that she's still a Basula? Wouldn't it be convention nichnas of a chuppah v'leinivala? Presumably it would be where she went into the chuppah, which as we said before, there's a few possibilities what the chuppah is. One is that it's actually the yichud room, and that's usually where they would have first relations. But nevertheless, they didn't. They didn't actually have first relations. So now we're not talking necessarily where there's Edim involved. Before we said in connection with the Braisa that there were Edim that she wasn't Nival. Here we're talking about not necessarily. Here we're saying that there aren't any Edim, but nevertheless he figured on the basis of her say so that she's a Basula. So we said she gets a Ksuba of a Mona and he can't do Tainus Basula. So on that, the second version is that Rabbi is saying on that Mishnah, Zois Emeres, concept of Chazakas Basula, Venimtis Bola, that if he married her with a Chazaka, that she's a Basula, and it turns out she's a Bola, so Basam Manim, she gets a Ksuba of 100, we don't say that it's a Mekach Tos. And again, Rav Ashi, Yomar, in the second version also, Rav Ashi disagrees and says, La'olam Emelach Ba'alma Leslachwal, you could say that maybe in general, when he marries her Bechazkas Basula, and it turns out that she's a Ba'ula, he could claim Mekach Tos and say she doesn't get anything at all. But Shani Hach, Shani Nechas of a Chuppah, again, you could say it's different over here, because she did go into the Chuppah, and he knows that. So therefore, it's different when he married her, thinking that she hadn't even been in the chuppah yet, and then it turns out that she's a ba'ula, where she'd been mezanah beforehand or something, and then maybe Rav Ashi says he could claim mekach tos. Again, the question is, v'leifel shematakt of zinsa, the same as in the first version, don't we have the concern that maybe she was mezanah after the erusin? How do we know? At least we should allow him to go to Beis Din and get that checked out. And again, the answer is, Amr of Shirev, Yekidunch Kiddush, or Baal Alter. Again, the same answer as in the first version, where we're talking about that he did the Kiddushin, and immediately after that, he did the first Be'ila. Again, much like we do nowadays, where the Kiddushin is done very shortly before the Be'ila, so therefore there's no real time in between for Turbin Mazak. Now, what's the difference between the two versions? So we have one version where Rabba's and Rav Ashi's statements are in connection with the Braisa, and another version where they're in connection with our Mishnah. So Manda Masnila Braisa, the one who learned that Rabba's statement and Rav Ashi's rejection of it are referring to the Braisa Kol Shekena Masnissin. So they would say all the more so on the Mishnah, because the Braisa is talking about where we actually have Edim, that they weren't in Sira long enough, that they weren't Nister, that they weren't alone long enough for there to have even been via, or that they either we said that there wasn't stira at all, or there was stira but not long enough for via. So then it's all the more so in our Mishnah where there aren't Edim at all. So all the more so Rav Ashi would say that nevertheless we would say in our Mishnah where we don't even have Edim, for all we know, Nisuin Chuppah usually is followed by Bia, then we would say it's most likely that she was Nivala, and therefore we could say that, Rav Ashi would say, that's a special case where therefore it's not really a Mekach Tos, because you should know to begin with that likely Be'ila was already done. But that would be. So if we say it on the Braisa, so all the more so on the Mishnah. But the second version that says that it's in reference to our Mishnah, Avala Braisa Loi. But he would say that Rav Ashi's statement is not necessarily valid when referring to the Mishnah, Mishum de Motzi Omala, nor Edim Stamki. Because after all, in the case of the Braisa, where there are Edim, that there wasn't any stira at all, he would have the right maybe to say that, look, I'm relying on the Edim. As far as I know, it's one thing in the Mishnah, there were no Edim at all. In the Mishnah, there was Nisuin, and after Nisuin, the usual expectation is that she's going to be a Ba'ula, so that's the case of the Mishnah. So therefore, fine, when I married you, I knew there's a fair chance that you were Ba'ula. I can't now claim Mekachtos and go to base in the Tainus Sulim. But when it comes to the Braisa, where there were Edim, that there was no Stira, or the Stira was too short, then maybe the husband would have the right to say, Rav Ashi might say, the husband would have every right to say, you know what, as far as I knew, you were a Basula. I had Edim after all to that effect. It turns out now you're not a Basula. Well, then I'm going to claim Mekachtos. So if we say that the statement of Rabba and the rejection of Rav Ashi are referring to the Mishnah, then not necessarily would Rav Ashi hold the same thing in the Braisa. He might well say that in the case of the Braisa, if in fact it turns out that she is a Ba'ula, then in fact he could claim Mekachtos. Okay. Mishnah says, continuing on this topic of when we say that there can be Tainus Sulam or not, If the chassan eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda, now we talked about the other day that in Yehuda they had a minhag that the chassan and kala would be allowed to be alone after the erusin, unlike in other places where they had the minhag that, like we do, that they're only allowed to be together after the nisuin. But in Yehuda they had the minhag that they would actually be alone after the erusin as well. And later on, actually, the Gemara is going to talk about. That's something else. No, ho'ichol eitzachom, it means that he eats after the elisin, and the assumption is once he's eating over there, it shows that's how they used to do it. The Rashba explains that where they had the minhag to do the yichud, then they would also have the chosin would go and eat together with the kala's family. So then, shaloi ve'edim, and there's no edim that there was no yichud, eini yochol litin tainus besulim, so afterwards you can't claim tainus besulim and say that it was mekach tos, and say that she should forfeit her ksuba. Actually, we learned earlier in the Gemara, we said he could claim Tainus Basulim to the extent that she's auster to him, because he could claim that there may be a suffix, at least whether it was after the Erisin, and therefore that would create a problem. But at least as far as making her forfeit her ksuba, we can't say that, because the likelihood is that who had relations with her during that time is he himself. Because in those places, the minhag was that he was alone with them, and therefore, there's a high likelihood that in fact they had relations. So Rashi says it's not even necessarily that he's maliciously. So Rashi earlier on that test, it's fine. It's not even that he's maliciously saying now, knowing that he had relations with her, he's going to dafka go and claim Tainus Basulim. It could very well be that he forgot, or maybe he didn't realize that he did bia to the extent where he broke her Basulim. We talked about the other day the reason why we brought something the other day from the Meiri, why it is that why in Yehuda they had that minhag anyway, and the reason was because in Yehuda particularly they had, we talked about before on Daf Gimel, how the goyim at one point made a zera that any besula who gets married has to first spend the night with the local goyish warlord, the local goyish hegemon. So therefore in Yehuda they gathered in Yehuda the goyim enforced those laws more strictly. So they wanted to make sure they're more than any place else, that the chassan and kala have already had the time to be alone and to develop a close relationship, such that if she does end up getting taken by the hegemon, she's less likely to do it berotzen. It's more likely that it would be ba'onis, and that way she wouldn't be also to her husband. Okay, so the Gemara says mid katoni ha'oichel. Now you're saying if he eats by his father-in-law in Yehuda. So the implication now, if it meant that in all of Yehuda, if they do that, then the Loshen would be something different. Then it would say something like, Hanoisa Isha be Yehuda, where if a man marries a woman in Yehuda. Instead, Niklal de Ikaduchta be Yehuda Nami de Loyachal. So the implication is that even within Yehuda itself, there are some places where they don't in fact eat together with the Chosin, with the Kala's family, and do this Yehud during the Erisim. So Abaye says, well, you see from that even in Yehuda itself, you have different places, some places where they have the minhag to do that, and some places where not. So even within Yehuda itself, if it's a place where they don't do that, then he does have the right for Tainus to the Sulim. But otherwise, we would say not. And the Ritva talks about the idea that Abaye's chiddush is that really without Abaye telling us, you would think that in all places they have the minhag, but some individual people don't do it, and you would say you ignore those individual people. Now Abaye is telling us that there are actually places, there are actually cities and towns within Yehuda where the local minhag in that city or that town is not to do this yichud. And therefore, so then they have the din of people from other places where therefore there can be tainus b'sodom. And the Gemara says, "Kiritania," as in fact we learn in a place, "Amr of Yehuda, the Yehuda, Barishona Hayu Miyach Nesachas and Vesakala Shah Achas Kodim Kinesas Machaba." Originally in Yehuda, they used to have the Chasin and Kala be in Yichud for a short time. Shah Achas doesn't literally mean 1 hour; it means a short amount of time before they went into the Chuppah, sometime during the period of the Erusin. Kadesh Yehi Liber Gasba, in order that he should get to be familiar with her. And this way, later on, he'll develop a close relationship with her right away. And like the Meiri said, this way, in case the Goyim start enforcing their law about Tibor Lahegman Tchila, then this way it's more likely that it'll be Ba'onis rather than Beratzen, and she won't be Osir to him. But on the Galil, they didn't used to do that. Further, the Braisa says, in Yehuda, originally, they used to arrange for the Chasen and Kala, two Shushvinin, two attendants, one for him, one for him, one for her, in order to check carefully what the chasen and kala are doing when they go into the chuppah, so this way they don't try to cheat each other. For example, the chasen might take the cloth that they use during the first ve'ilah, which is usually going to have blood of Dan B'Sulim on it, and he's going to try to hide it and then claim that he didn't find B'Sulim. Or vice versa, she might take a different cloth and bring it in with blood already on it and claim that this was Dan B'Sulim. So they had to shvin in to avoid that. So they would do that. In the Golu, they didn't used to do that. So the Ritva actually explains, in the Golu, they also had Shushvinin, but they didn't do this mishmush, they didn't do this careful checking, because they would check the Kala to make sure, for example, that she doesn't bring in a cloth with blood on it, but they wouldn't bother with Chos. And then the Meiri explains further, he says that in Yehuda, they seem to have been more makbid on these kinds of things. They had more reason to suspect that there's some kind of hanky-panky going on over here, whereas in the Galil, I guess they were more trusting and they didn't worry about that. And the Braisa continues, Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, those Shushvinin would actually sleep in the same house where the Chasen and Kala are sleeping, so that way they could carefully check on what the Chasen and Kala are doing. And again, in the Galil, they were more trusting, as the Meiri says, and they didn't worry about that. And the Braisa finishes off. Anybody who does not follow this minhag, any yochel litan tainus besulim, is not able to argue afterwards a tainus besulim. He's not able to argue that I found that she's not a besulim when I expected her to be. Now, which minhag do we mean? The Gemara is going to explain. So the Gemara says, "Hey, which part of the Braisa, which minhag are we talking about?" That was saying that if he doesn't do it. Ilema Aresha, are we talking about the Resha where it's saying that they used to have the Chas and Kala be alone for a while before the Chuppah? And the wording is backwards. Kosher not by relation. Anybody who did do this minhag can't claim tainus besulim because they were alone. The chas and kala were alone. Therefore, there's a high likelihood that be'ilah took place, and therefore he can't claim tainus besulim afterwards. Even we're going to say, like Rashi said earlier, that's not necessarily maliciously he's going to claim, but just that he forgets or whatever. But still, that's reason enough to say that he shouldn't have tainus besulim. Adrabba, if you don't have that minhag, that's when you would say that you can claim tainus besulim. Ela asefa. So he's saying it's referring to the Sefer, meaning the second part of the Braisa, talking about the Shushvinin, who would check the Chosin and Kala. So the problem is that the Kol Shalei Nohag implies something that the Chosin does. Now that means, in other words, we're talking about something that the Chosin has to take care of, make sure that the Kala has not brought in a false cloth or something. So in that case, the next question should be, Kol Shalei Mushmash Miboylei. In that case, the expression should be, not just on the chosin, we're talking about that, so what happens? It's the other way around. The father of the kala is the one who is responsible to make sure that the chosin does not, that the chosin doesn't try any funny stuff either, that he's not gonna take the cloth and hide it and pretend that there was no basulim. So therefore, shalein mushmash mibayolei. So the Braisa should say that anyone who they didn't check ahead of time to make sure that he didn't that they don't have any false cloth, so that he doesn't lose the cloths or whatever. So what are we talking about? Amar Abaye lo ulamad reisha. So Abaye says you're right. The statement in the Braisa, the kol shalein nohag, is referring to the reisha. The Tani kol shalein nohag. So you have to change the wording in the Braisa. It didn't mean to say kol shalein nohag. It meant the other way around. It meant to say kol shalein nohag. Anybody who did have that minhag, you know, can't claim tainus besolim. Or doesn't like that. The fact is, the Braisa says kol shalein nohag. You can't flip it around. It's one thing. Sometimes we say we have to fix up the wording in a Braisa a little bit, where the wording might have gotten mixed up, but not where you're flipping around between nohag and loin nohag. That's not a mistake that any tana would make. Elo omar Rava. So Rava says no. Hakikomer, kol shalein nohag minhag begolil, begolil, if a person did not follow the minhag of the Galil in the Galil, namely, that in the Galil was saying they didn't have Shushbinin, and they didn't have the Chosin Kalavi alone doing the Eversin, and so forth. So if he didn't do the minhag of Galil over there, Ela minhag Yehuda of Galil, instead in Galil he decided to bring in the minhag of Yehuda, and he and his Kala were alone for a time doing the Eversin, then afterwards any Yochel lived in Tainas Besulim, then he can't claim Tainas Besulim for the same reason as the people of Yehuda, because once there was Yehud, there was probably Bia as well. But the point being, in other words, that so the kosher loy nohag means he didn't do according to the local minhag, instead he followed the minhag of a different place. So now that makes him lose his tainus besulim. Rav Ashi says a third possibility. La'olam ha-sefer. In fact, the statement kol shalei nohag can be referring to the sefer, the statement about having shushvinin. And you would say, Tony, kol shalei mushmash. So fine, you change the word nohag to mushmash. Anybody who was not checked ahead of time, then he can't claim tainus besulim, because afterwards when he's saying that I didn't find besulim, it might be because in fact he took the cloth and hid it. And we have to be mashmash, we have to check him. We have to check him at the time to make sure that he doesn't even have the ability to hide that cloth. Okay, so three different ways of explaining the Braisa. Mishnah says, so we said before that basically a besula gets 200 zuz and almana gets 100, and almana or grusha or what have you, any non-besula gets 100 zuz. So more about that. Mishnah says, echad almanas Yisrael, the echad almanas kohenim, whether the woman is a widow whether she was previously married to a Yisrael, or whether she was widow, whether she herself is a bas Yisrael, or whether she is a bas Kohen, either way, ksubasamana, either way, since she's a widow and she's already a ba'ula, then her ksuba is 100. But based in shel Kohenim, how you go to the ksuba, Arameis zuz. The based in of Kohenim, you had there were different bate dinim. We know they had bate dinim in every city. In the Beis Mikdash itself, actually, there was something called the based in shel Kohenim, who were in charge of keeping track of what's being done with the korbanos and make sure that everything's being done correctly as far as the korbanos and as far as the operations of the Beis Mikdash and whatever. So here, either it means that this was that based in that sat in the Beis Mikdash and then dealt with such things, and they also dealt with this, or it means it could be also. The Shittim Kometzer said, there were cities in Eretz Yisrael that were all Kohenim, and then there were local based in, then would be a based in of Kohenim. Anyway, so Hoyu Goyvin Lubsula Aramei Zuz. They have the minhag over there that a Bas Kohen, who is a Basula, would get a Ksuba of 400 Zuz. And the Chachamim did not protest about that. Now, what do you mean? Why should the Chachamim protest? The person can make the Ksuba as large as he wants. The point is, Tosfos says, the Tosfos is pointed on Amud Beis, that usually, if you want to add to the ksuba, you're going to say that, like we have in our standard ksubas nowadays, the ksuba is X amount, 100 for a non-besula, 200 for a besula, and then you add in the ksuba of a hoist of the tsavi of a chosin dinam, the chosin wanted or decided on his own, the hoist of flom and delay, and he added on his own an extra amount, and therefore you have, and here's the total. Here, in these ksubas that were done, and these ksubas that were arranged by these bate dinim of Kohenim, they didn't put anything about that he voluntarily did it. They put 400 dechazi lichi that are suitable for you. In other words, and isn't that false? Isn't that correct? Not 400 is not the right amount for a besula. 200 is. So nevertheless, the chachamim did not protest at it. So the Gemara says, so what happened exactly? So Tana, we learn in a Braisa, the almanas Kohenim ksubas masai. Now, what happened was that an almana who's a bas koyin, she gets a ksuba of 200 zuz, them. It just says, Echad Amonis Yisrael, Echad Amonis Koyanim Ksubasim Mona. Doesn't our Mishnah say that whether she's a Bas Yisrael or a Bas Koyan, she gets Ksuba of the Mona? So the answer is, Amar Rav Ashi Shtei Takonis Abu. What happened was, regarding the Almana, there were two Takonis, there were two stages in the Takon, regarding an Almana Bas Koyan. Originally, the base in Chokoyan and made the Takana that a Bas Koyan who's a Basula should get 400 Zuz, and then for an Almana who's a Bas Koyan, then she would get a Mana like any other Almana. But given the Chazudim is Zalzali Bahu, then the based in the Chachamim saw, not just based in Chokoyan, the Chachamim in general saw that people are treating the Almanas more casually. They're thinking it's very easy to divorce them. The whole point of a ksuba is shalaita kalaba inavotzia. It shouldn't be that easy for him to divorce her. And here, what was happening was it was getting very easy to divorce them because people were figuring, so what? All I have to do is pay out a money. So therefore, takinu lohum masan. So therefore, they made a takana that an almana bas koyin should get 400, should get 200 zuz. So both the ksuba and the almana are going to get twice what a regular woman would get. But then, given the chazu, the kaparishin minayu, then they saw that people are staying away from marrying almanas of koyanim at all, because the amri, because prospective chasanim would say to themselves, adin asvin almanas koyanim, as long as we're going to spend two, as long as we're going to be on the hook for 200 zuz to marry an almana of a koyan, an almana bas koyan, nasal nasal basula bas Yisrael, we might as well go instead and marry a Basula Bas Yisrael, where the Ksuba is going to be 200 either way, and a Basula, after all, is preferable to a Bola. So therefore, Adrino the Mosayu, so therefore the Chachamim put it back to the way it was, and an Amona gets only a Mona. So therefore, so our Mishnah is talking after the second Takana. So after the second Takana, a Basula Bas Koyin gets 400, and an Amona Bas Koyin gets only 100. That was after the second Takana. Tosfos discusses a little bit differently. So Tosfos explains that what happened was like this. It's the other way around. First, they didn't want to make an almana bas koyan different than any other almana. On the contrary, they saw that they're treating the almanas more casually. So then they decided to make it 200. But then they realized that you have parashin minayu, so therefore they put it back. So that's so Tosfos explains the two takonis were, number one, they made it double the amount for an almanas koyanim because they were mezalzel in them. So unlike Rashi's explanation, where the mezalzel bahu is it kind of amounts to the same thing, really, actually. We're saying that originally an almana would get only a mana, but then they saw people on mezalzel in them. So therefore, they found the need to make 200, then they saw parashin minayu, so that's why we have to say there were two takonis. Okay, so we said in the Mishnah, based in Shal Koyanim Chola, we said the based din of Koyanim would do this, would say 400 for an almana bas Koyan. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda, So Tosfos here. Tosfos explains the Mezalzeli Bahu is a little bit different. Tosfos explains the Mezalzeli Bahu is people were thinking that look at this, an almana bas koyin is getting a ksuba of only one quarter of what a besula bas koyin is getting. So why am I even interested in marrying such a woman? So therefore they upped it to 200 zuz. But then they saw it's even worse. That now, at least before, some people would be willing to marry them, figuring that they can get 100 zuz. Now nobody is willing to marry them. So therefore, that's what they put it back. So Tosfos explains that the mezalzeli means that they were saying, what's so special about her? She's only going to marry them at all, because why should I be on the hook for 200 for a ba'ula, for an almana bas koyin, when I could just as well be on the 200, on the hook for 200, for the same 200 for a besula bas yisra. Okay, so we said based in Shal Koyanim, all of the based in of Koyanim would say 400 zuz for a besula bas koyin. So Amrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, loy based in Shal Koyanim bovad Amru, it's not only the based in of Koyanim, ela afil mishpachas ham yuchosis v'yisrael. Even the families among the Jewish people who have yichus, and you have to remember that yichus in Gemara terminology doesn't mean necessarily what we mean nowadays, like they can trace themselves back to some famous Talmud Chacham or something, but rather it means they have yichus, as in we know that there's no psulim that ever got mixed into the family, which we're going to talk about that topic more in the second paragraph, that sometimes you have psulim yichus that get mixed up in a family. So here they knew for a fact they had careful records of yichusin that there were no such things. So even those families, in Rotsu Lassus, Kedersha, Koyanim Osin, sort of Yehuda, Mashmuel says, if they want to do like what the Koyanim do, and say that anybody who wants to marry a woman from her psula from their family has to give 400 zuz, Osin, then they can do that. And the Chachamim are not going to protest that. Which the point is, only the Mishpachas Miyuchasas have the right to do that. The Ritva explains if other families do that, then we're not going to allow them to. Because otherwise, we don't want to make it too hard for people to get married. So therefore, so it's one thing, the Mishpachas Miyuchasas have the right to do that, but not necessarily other families. So the Gemara says, Macy, I have a contradiction. And Braisa says, Haroitza lasis kederach ha'koyinim person. If a person wants to do the way the koyinim do, to goin basis yorol of koyin, for example, a bas yisrael is marrying kohen, or bas kohen yisrael, or the other way around, a bas kohen is marrying yisrael. Oisin, and they can do that. They can make it 400 zuz. But the implication seems to be only bas yisrael kohen, or bas kohen yisrael. The ikatzad don't either that she's now becoming the wife of a kohen and she's able to eat truma, or that she's a bas kohen to begin with and she has that yichus of kohuna to begin with. So you could say that then maybe you could say 400 zuz. Abba bas yisrael yisrael loy. But the implication of the braista seems to be that if both sides are Yisrael, then no, you don't have the option of the 400 zuz. So how can Rav Yehuda HaMishmuel say that you do, as long as you're Mishpacha Miyuchasas? My answer is, the Braise is telling us one of these needless to say things. Loimi boy bas Yisrael, Yisrael. Needless to say, if she's a bas Yisrael marrying Yisrael, then you can have 400 zuz, if that's the local minhag. The loy tell her that I'm bringing you to a higher level, because she's Yisrael and he's Yisrael. But you would think when a bas yisrael is marrying a kohen, you must see omalo iluyah come out linavus. You would think maybe he has a privilege of marrying you. As it is, I'm bringing you to a higher level. Now you become maybe we would say that her family doesn't have the right to demand 400 zuz for the tzuba. Kamash Malan was saying that nevertheless the minhag of the kohen, it was a valid minhag, and they can tell him 400 zuz or you don't get married. Okay. So now, from here till the end of the parak, we're going to talk about various cases where he marries her and has tainus besulim, and we're going to talk about all the various permutations of that. Some of these we already touched on in earlier gemaras. The first one, he marries a woman, he finds she doesn't have besulim. So one of the two arguments that we learned previously, either he claims Pesach Pasuach Matzasi, or he claims that there was no blood. So he met us, she says it's true, I did have relations, but it was after the Erusin, that I was raped, flooded. We had that expression on top of days on the days, meaning basically it's your tough luck. When you were Makadish me, I was a Basola, and I would have been entitled to 200 of that. The fact that my status has changed since then is not my fault, because it was an oinus after all. So you're still on the hook to give me the 200. Who oiner? And meanwhile, he's counter-arguing, loiki, I don't believe that. Ella, but rather, now he's not saying for sure, but he's saying maybe, actually, it might have happened before my kedushin of you, well, my acquisition of you was a metachtos, and therefore, when we learn of Sheshes and of Nachman and Rabba, and we can't necessarily take what she's saying at her word. Ella, so Rabbi Yeshua says, we have to assume Zaka that the Be'ilah took place before the Erusin. Fine, we don't have a reason to say necessarily that we have to say that it may have been, there's a Chazaka that it may have happened before the Erusin. And after all, you could argue, she has a choice, this discusses earlier in the Masechta, we have a couple of blocks ago, we have on the one hand a chazaka that she was a basula at one point. She was born a basula after all. On the other hand, right now we see that she's a ba'ula, so therefore that destroys that original chazaka, and therefore that may mean that in fact that she may have been ba'ula even before the Eros in like Chosnes claiming. And therefore, the Hitatu, and we would say then that she misled him, Adjitabi, right? Look at that. And so Rabbi Yeshua says she would have to bring proof for what she's saying, because after all, Moitzim Echabel of a Raya. She wants to claim the extra 100 zuz, then she needs to bring a Raya, which we're going to discuss that point in the Gemara about we're going to start talking about Dine Mominus over here, about Bori Veshema claims, which is basically what we have, claiming a Tainus Bori. She's claiming that it's definite that it happened at such and such a time, and he's on the show. The expression Moni Pia Anuchayim, by the way, is an interesting one. Why do you use that expression? We're not living from her mouth. So there's a couple of interesting explanations about that. One is there's a kushta, the word kushta means truth in Aramaic. People, they never lie. Story over there So one time, one of the chachamim moved over there, and inadvertently, one time he said something untrue, and terrible things happen, and the people actually told him, you need to tell them the truth. They lived long. The opposite, when you don't tell the truth in a place like that, especially, then you don't live long. Lives in a place like this, where they always tell the truth, and that gives them a richas yamim, we're not the truth. This is also our is the idea that we talk about in many emails related to Malchus. Malchus, in turn, is related to speech, like we say in Pasach HaLayom, Malchus Peh, Torah Shabbat Peh, Karin and Law. So therefore, the idea is that we actually live through Malchus. Malchus is how the Eidosh is Mashiach to us. But that's only when you're telling the truth, because Chesam is Shalakar Shabbat HaMas, Shem's seal is truth. If you have Malchus, and the woman representing Malchus is not saying the truth, then it means that life is being taken away from the world. That's the deeper meaning of what we say, Lo Yimapiyah Anuchai. Okay. So the Gemara starts off with a discussion of Dinei Mominus, and then we're going to discuss how this relates to Amish. The Gemara says, Itzvah. We have a discussion of Amigoyim. If Reuven says to Shimon, Mona li biyadcha, you owe me a mona, v'halo oima eini yedeya. And the other one says, I don't know, meaning I don't know if I'm chayev to you at all. Tosfos says it means that he's saying, I don't know if I ever borrowed money from you. If he's saying, I know I borrowed, but I'm not sure if I paid it back, then for sure. There's nothing to talk about. We're talking about over here that we're talking about it because there he has a father. That he's still, we're saying that he says, I don't even know if I borrowed from him. So Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna Amichayev, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say that it's Chayev Pei, and Rav Nachman and Rav Yechon say it's possible. So Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda Amichayev, because they say Bori Veshema, Bori Odi. You have Reuven is claiming a Tainus Bori. He's saying, I know for a fact that you owe me this money. Shimon is counter saying a Tainus Shema. He's saying, maybe I owe you, maybe not. I'm not sure. And therefore, Bori takes precedence, and therefore the Bori is the stronger argument, and therefore he gets the money. On the other hand, Rav Nachman, Rav Yechon, Ami Potter, they say Uki Mamonim because of this money, you have to leave the money in the chazaka of its owner. After all, I'm Moitzim Chavel of a Raya. You want to say that I owe you money, then you need to bring a Raya. We will have now. Rashi points out, Shimon will have to swear a shvuas hesis, which is a shvuas derabanan that he doesn't actually know, which is always the case. Even if he counterclaimed Tainus Bori, even if he said, I know for sure I don't owe you the money, we'd still make him swear a shvuas hesis midirabanan. So the same thing over here, we have to swear a shvuas hesis according to Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Whereas the point of Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, so now Abaya points out to Rabbi Yosef, called it Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda. This statement of Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, that Bori Veshema, Bori is stronger, you should know, Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Shmuel. It's not Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda's own independent opinion, they actually learned it from Shmuel. Because it's not, we learn in the next Mishnah, or two Mishnayos further, actually, we have on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Hosam Uberes, suppose a woman is pregnant, and she's not married, so we know obviously she had relations, but Omru La Maktiva Shal Uberzeh, people ask her, what's the story with this baby, who's the father, And after all, the point is that if the father is somebody who's posel l'kohuna, like we talked about in Yevamos, if he's a mamzer or a nosin or anybody else, or a cholol or anybody else who would posel her, then she herself is posel in the future to marry a kohen. And she answers, me'ish ploini v'kohen hu. She answers, it's from ploini, and that ploini is a kohen. It doesn't have to necessarily be a kohen per se. The point is, it's somebody who would not posel her from kohuna. So again, you have a similar machlokes on and Omer of Yehuda Omer Shalacha Kerem Gamil. That the halacha is like Rem Gamil. So we see that, and we're asking her what the story with who was she, who did she have with her. But here we have Rav Shmuel by Yehuda is also calling that. He said, Am Raflon, Mishmei Bishmuel, Shalacha Kerem Gamil after Rishon. You told us, now, what do you mean in the first case? Meaning our Mishnah. So, my after Rishon. So what does it mean even in the first case? What's the greater Chiddush of our Mishnah over the later one? The Chiddush seems to be, even though on the face of it we should say, like Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, and say, the money is in his chazaka right now, and we shouldn't take it away from him without proof. Nevertheless, in the case of Monavi Biyotza, where Reuven is saying, you definitely owe me money, and Shimon is saying, maybe I'm not sure if I do. Still, the money is in Shimon's chazaka. So even though in our Mishnah, you could also say that Uki Mamona Bechazkas Mare, that you should put it in the chazaka of its owner, and nevertheless, which would mean, in other words, that the husband should not have to pay the 200, because maybe his taina is correct, and nevertheless, Amar Rav Gamliel Bori Odif, and still Rav Gamliel says that the Bori argument takes precedence, because she's saying Bori that it wasn't before the Erusin, and he's saying maybe it was, and therefore, so we see, and Shmuel saying that halacha is like Rav Gamliel. So Shmuel evidently holds that when you have Bori Veshema, Bori Odif, which would be like Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. So we see therefore says Abaya that what Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda are saying is basically the same thing as what Shmuel. It is what Shmuel was saying. The question then is, Lamer Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, Da'ami, Kedam Gamil, Rav Nachman, Rav Yechanan, Da'ami, Da'ami, Kedam Yeshua. Well, then does it come out that the machlokes is between the two sets of is the same as the machlokas Tanoi. The problem, as we said before, Shmuel says that there has to be some kind of chiddush in it. And the answer is Amalach Rav Nachman. The answer is Rav Nachman can say, which Tosfos says actually that only Rav Nachman would say this. Rav Yochanan might say, okay, so I'm going like one time, big deal. But Rav Nachman is going to give an answer that actually what I'm saying would work out according to both Tanoi. So Rav Nachman can say, I'm not the Amri Afilukram Gamil. What I'm saying that in the case of Reuben and Shimon, that Shimon is potter, and only has to do with the Shuas Hester. Because we say, Uki Mamoinu Bechazkas Mare, we say we leave the money in the chazaka of its owner. That could go after the Rav Gamliel. That could even go according to Rav Gamliel's opinion. You know why Rav Gamliel says in our Mishnah that we claim that there wasn't any, that she didn't have relations at all. She claimed Nansa is a weaker, when she said that there was only, that's a weaker argument, because now she's saying that she's possible for the Kohuna in the future. So she has a nigger. She could have used a better argument. So therefore, she must be telling the truth, as the fact that she's claiming Tainas Bori. So that Aval Chacha. But when it comes to Reuven saying you owe me a mona, and Shimon says I don't, my Nigri Yikar, there's no Nigri. So therefore, we can say that not necessarily is that not necessarily are we going to put him on the hook for the money, because after all, we would say I'm motzi mechaber al baray. Yeshua would say that after all, if it was onus, there would be a coil for it, so therefore Rabbi Yeshua would say, come on. So at least the Gemara clearly says that Rabbi Nachman could hold, but both Rabbi Huna might indeed, and the Gemara says, Inami, another point, another reason why you could say to that Rabbi Nachman can hold like either one of them. Ad Kan Thor, the woman to begin with, had a chazaka. She was born of Sula after all, so therefore we can say that she had that chazaka for as long as possible, till after the Eversin, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel is going to believe her. So plus the fact that also she's claiming a tainas bari. Here there's no chazaka that we should say that Reuven has any kind of chazaka that Shimon owes him a mana. So that's another reason to say. So we could say in Reb Nachman's case, they could say that Shimon is potter because Hamotz Machabel. Ahead of time that Shimon ever owed him that money. And the Gemara says, in fact, it's logical to say, like we're answering, that on the other hand, we don't find anybody arguing that. Therefore, we have to answer, like he said, that there is a distinction that his din could work either according to Rav Gamliel or according to Rav Yeshua for the true reasons that we said, because there was a stronger reason in our Mishnah to believe there's a stronger reason in our Mishnah to believe her, either because, again, either because she has a is because she has a midgoy, and also because